I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Is there a shortage of conservative professors? Our guest this hour writes that critics charge that universities look nothing like the rest of the country and urge reform of hiring practices to correct for political imbalance. He did a survey back in 2006 of professors' politics. At that time, a fifth of all American adults described themselves as liberal. Half the faculty did. Even among professors who chose the label moderate, liberal political opinions were quite common, especially on social issues such as gender equality and gay rights. Just because most professors are liberal, he says, doesn't mean the average student is being force-fed liberal ideology. Some of you may disagree with that or agree with it. Our guest is Professor Neil Gross. He's the Charles Dana Professor of Sociology at Colby College, and he is the author of Why Are Professors Liberal and Why Do Conservatives Care? We'll be welcoming phone calls for him during this hour at 800-486-8655. Email talk at WPR.org, Facebook, The Kathleen Dunn Show, where we love to read your comments. Professor Neil Gross, thank you very much for being with us this hour. Hello. Oh, he's on. I thought he was on a different kind of line. Hi, Professor Gross.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well,
so,
I'm a badger, so I'm happy to be here.
Oh, you're a badger too.
I earned my PhD from Wisconsin, so I'm very happy to be back.
Did you? You know, it's amazing how many people did. We run into so many people who graduated from UW-Madison.
That's right.
And you've all done well.
Good to hear.
Which is good. So were they all liberals back at Madison?
Well, many were, just as is true at leading research universities across the country. It's a pretty common pattern for sure.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about the survey you did, and would it be the results about the same? You did it in 2006 to look at what the politics were of professors. What was the survey all about?
Yeah, so we started this survey, a colleague and I, named Solon Simmons, who teaches at George Mason, another Wisconsin graduate.
Ah.
So we did the survey because in 2006-2007 there was a lot of controversy in higher ed, just like there is now, about the politics of the professoriate. This was a time when Harvard president Larry Summers had gotten into a great deal of trouble by suggesting at a conference that women were underrepresented at the highest levels of math and science because of intrinsic differences in ability and
yes.
stuff. And there was a huge sort of controversy that surrounded that, and lots of critics from the right charged that the fact that he was basically being attacked for raising this hypothesis was evidence that political correctness had run amok in the academy. And we were curious about all of this and wanted to know what the actual political tilt was of American professors.
Mm-hmm.
So we did a big survey. It was a nationally representative survey. Looked at professors in almost all fields, not professional schools, but almost all fields across all types of institutions, from elite research universities like Wisconsin to community colleges. And it asked professors a whole range of questions about their political views and their social attitudes.
And these were professors of English, history, engineering, math, science?
Yes, all of those fields. It looked at the full spectrum of different disciplines.
And what did you find?
Well, I think what we found was that some of the stereotypes about professors and their politics were true, but others weren't true. So it is true that professors are a liberal lot, and there's lots of ways of looking at this. One simple measure is just to look at whether people describe themselves as liberal or moderate or conservative, and that's not an ideal measure of these kinds of things because people can mean different things by those labels. But just by looking at this measure, we found that professors are a pretty liberal group. Somewhere between 45, 50, 60% of professors, depending on how you code things from the survey, identify themselves as liberal. And when you go to look at their actual attitudes, a large number have left-leaning views on, especially on social issues. Back in 2006, they were much more progressive on social issues than they were on economic issues. But certainly as compared to the American public in general, they were also more progressive on economic issues. So professors are a pretty liberal group. But against the stereotype, most professors aren't kind of wild-eyed radicals, if that's a reasonable way of describing that term. We found that only about 9% of professors nationally might be considered part of sort of a radical left contingent. Really the largest group were progressives, people in the center left, and then there were a surprising number of moderates that we found as well. About 20% of professors were moderate. But conservatives were significantly underrepresented. And so in that respect, the stereotype is correct.
Mm-hmm. When you've been through this process, there have been some calls for kind of an affirmative action to make sure there are more conservatives. There have been accusations that people hire people who are like-minded politically. Even if professors, you write, on hiring committees were out to employ political buddies rather than stellar researchers and teachers, which they aren't, they would find a few conservative scholars to discriminate against. Is there a way to discern what somebody's political orientation would be, and should that be taken into consideration when you're hiring somebody for a university?
Well, I think it depends on a lot on the field. So just to answer your question about whether you can tell what someone's politics are like if you're on a hiring committee when you're trying to hire a young professor or not, so I think in some fields it can be apparent. If you're doing research in certain areas of the social sciences, you might be able to sort of guess from someone's research profile the kinds of topics they work on, the kinds of arguments they make, what their politics are. In other areas of academe, for example, many of the physical and biological sciences, it would be almost impossible to tell what someone's political views were if you were on a hiring committee. So I think it's easier to tell in some instances and harder to tell in others. Your second question is whether we should be taking politics into consideration, and my view is that we shouldn't be. I think that we should be hiring faculty members who are excellent teachers, excellent researchers, able to make real contributions to their field, and we should be looking at folks who are able to kind of bracket their politics out of the classroom, out of their research, and do work which is meaningful, can speak to broad audiences of students, and can advance our understanding of the way the world works. And so, from my point of view, which I think is pretty commonly shared, politics is not something that we should be factoring into the hiring process. We shouldn't be only hiring people on the left, but we shouldn't also be especially targeting people on the right. It should be not at all a central consideration in the hiring process of academics, in my view anyway.
Well, it looks as though the future will be more of liberal people on the ranks of college faculty, because you talk about the politics of graduate students and that those mirror the politics of professors.
Yeah, and that's been something that's been true for a long time. Mm-hmm. One thing that I discovered when I was doing research on the subject is that the topic recurs. It's something that's controversial now. It was controversial in 2006. It was controversial in the 90s. It was controversial in the 1960s. And the data throughout this period suggests that professors have always been more liberal than conservative. They've always been a liberal occupational group. And graduate students have always been more liberal, as liberal as professors, and more liberal than the general population. This comes back to the question of hiring. If you're a hiring committee looking to hire someone in English or sociology or political science, you'll get a large pool of applicants, and the overwhelming number of them will be on the left, whether you're trying to hire them on the basis of politics or not. There aren't that many conservatives who are going to graduate school and getting their PhDs that one could choose from. And I think there's lots of good questions about why this is. Why is it that the graduate student pool tilts so heavily left and has tilted heavily left since really the 1960s? One answer to that question is that there's a bit of a self-reproducing process that's going on here. Academia has been historically a fairly progressive institution. We've hired faculty members who are on the left, young students coming through the system can get the message that academia is just the kind of thing that is suitable. If you have a left-leaning view, it's compatible with your sensibilities toward the world. And young conservatives get the impression that it's kind of not. And so liberals who are talented academically flock to academia as a possible career, and conservatives who are talented academically look to other kinds of occupations. So it becomes a kind of self-reproducing process.
Mm-hmm. What do you do on issues, and these have become, not all Republicans, of course, believe this, but there is a large segment of conservative Republicans who don't believe that global warming is in existence, who may believe that creationism is the way that the world was founded. What do you do with those kinds of beliefs, which have been aligned now politically with very conservative thinkers? Do you make sure that they're admitted, that there's a point of view that needs to be in the college curricula, and so you need to find out what people's political views are on those scientific topics?
It's a little hard for me to answer the question in exactly those terms. I mean, higher education is about many things, but it's certainly about truth and about science.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me to imagine that any biology faculty would see any reason to have faculty members teaching in their departments who would deny evolution, for example, and just as it seems unlikely to me that many climate scientists would take special care to want to hire faculty members who are kind of climate change deniers. There may be some benefit at the kind of K through 12 level of making sure that those points of view which are pretty much at odds with the established science are represented on the part of teachers. But at the collegiate level, there seems to be no benefit to that, and a real in fact that I think there's a way in which that does a real disservice to the public. So I think that my response would be to say no, I don't see any reason that those points of view should be well represented. I mean, certainly we want to teach that people have these points of view and acknowledge that there is some disagreement among the public on these things, but that's very different than making sure that we have again scientists who represent these points of view.
Hmm. Well, let's talk to the public now. Welcome calls at 800-486-8655. We have a lot of Facebook comments as well. Stephen writes, there shouldn't be any change in hiring practice. If you want a well-rounded liberal arts education, go to a state college. If you want a conservative slant on your education, go to a college connected with a religion.
Well, I may think that it does depend a little bit on what students are looking for. I think that one of the dangers of the current period of polarization in American politics is that some students might want to have a particular kind of political slant in their higher education experience, and I think that's not what higher education is all about. And so I think that while there may be some benefit to conservative students going to religiously affiliated colleges and universities, for example, I would encourage all students to seek out educations which are broad-minded and which expose them to a whole range of points of view, not just political points of view, but a whole range of academic points of view and so on.
We're going to go to phone calls. Our guest this hour is Professor Neil Gross, graduate of UW-Madison. He's professor of sociology at Colby College, and he's the author of Why Are Professors Liberal and Why Do Conservatives Care? Here's how you join the conversation, 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org, and our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's go to phone calls. 800-486-8655 is the number. Keith in Wisconsin Dells, hi.
Yes, hi. I just actually turned on the program, so I haven't caught quite the whole thing of what we're talking about. But what you guys were just discussing with having more liberal professors and stuff in the schools, I go to a community college here, and we were actually just discussing the topic of climate change and science versus the non-science findings and that. My question is, On the ones that the non-science findings of the climate change, if you had a professor that were pushing maybe a more conservative agenda on, let's say, the climate change, do you think that that would shape the way students would perceive that notion of that? And I think we have her up here. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. Are students to be persuaded by professors' political beliefs or scientific beliefs or whatever? Is that what happens in the classroom? Or are they trying to get critical thinkers in their, among their group of students? Professor?
So I, as part of the research that I did for this book, we did, in addition to surveys, interviews with lots of professors to find out about how they taught.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't there in the classroom with them to check up on whether their what they said was going on was what was actually going on. But what we found was that professors take one of kind of three stances in terms of their politics and their teaching. A really small number of professors that we talked to are trying to encourage their students to take a different to take their own political point of view through their teaching. A really minuscule number. This is a small group who see their job as to turn students in one direction or another. The larger groups by far were a group that takes the position that they should basically keep their politics out of teaching. They shouldn't mention their politics. They should simply teach the course material that they're assigned, and do their best to make sure that their own political points of view don't enter into classroom conversations. And then there's another large group of professors who think that it's okay to mention what their own politics are, but to make sure that that students know that they can disagree with them and to kind of have this as a basis for engaged discussion. So I think this varies a lot across different fields of study. But I think it's important to bear in mind that there's the world of politics, and then there's the world of science and higher education. And most of what science and higher education is about, it's not about convincing people to take one side or another on political matters. It's about, exploring the way the world works, exploring, the humanities. It's about, searching out enduring truths about the human condition. And so fitting the world of politics and the world of academia together and thinking that they're always tightly coupled, I think reflects a kind of blindness in our current political culture.
Oh, we've had a lot of that in our current political culture, don't we? That's part of the problem. So I think it must be up to people in colleges and universities to bridge that divide. What do you think, Professor?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think one of the functions of colleges and universities, I think, should be to remind people that that the world of ideas doesn't map so easily onto the world of contemporary American politics, and partly to help people kind of break out of those molds.
Now let's talk about this for a little bit. You, in the piece that you wrote that I read today, talk about this recent Harvard study with 21% of Republican students as compared to 8% of Democratic students feeling that they are not comfortable sharing their political opinions on campus. In an ideal world, you write, that number would be zero. Why isn't it zero?
Well, I think that it's a little unclear what the Harvard study that I mentioned in the LA Times piece was referring to. This was a kind of a nationwide poll, and it asked people about whether they felt comfortable talking about their political positions on campus. So it didn't specify, in the classroom versus with their peers and so on and so forth. I think, colleges and universities have to acknowledge that that these are times when, progressive sentiment in the country is running high, especially among young people, young people who identify as conservative, as Republican, on many campuses feel alienated. Sometimes feel as though they can't fully express their positions, even if their professors, in fact, would be perfectly open to hearing their points of view. Maybe they feel that they can't share them. I think that's something that colleges have to recognize, deal with, find some way to work through. I mean, we should be, as colleges and universities, not just encouraging people to take off the current blinders of politics, but also to find a way to encourage a dialogue among the people on the left and people on the right, and I think we should be doing more of that on campus. So I think you're right to point out that it's not good that anyone feels as though they can't share their political points of view on campus.
Right. Yeah, no, of course not. Yeah, you should be able to say what you're thinking. Kevin in Milwaukee, hi.
Hi. Two quick points. My son is currently going to school, and he's also working 50 hours a week at a full-time job. If he turns in a paper in his business class that doesn't show the government controls the economy and if the government can run the economy and make it better, if his paper doesn't toe that line, instead of turning in a 5-page paper on the weekly topic, his paper has to be 8 to 12 pages because it has to have all the documentation, it has to have all the annotation, it has to cite all the sources, and everything has to be completely cohesive so he can get a B+ or an A- instead of just everybody else getting an A+ for their 5-page paper.
Well, how do you know that, Kevin?
Because I talk to him every week, and that's what goes on. When he turns in a paper that says that you have an economy that will be basically run by the people, if the people don't want to buy something, then they won't buy it. No, that's not the way it works. The government will run the economy through tax subsidies and tax incentives.
Uh-huh.
And when I was in school in the 60s and 70s, we were told that global warming was going to cause worldwide drought. All the people would starve. There's not enough fresh water for 1.5 billion people. The polar ice caps were going to melt, and all of the polar bears would be dead by the time I got to high school. That's what I was told back in the 70s. So when you let me know how the global warming is wrong for 45 years, I'll think about believing you.
Well, Professor, what do you think?
Well, certainly there have always been, anecdotes to this effect, and I don't mean to minimize what the caller is saying. I will point out that that if you look at how the political views of the faculty line up across different fields, the caller mentioned the field of business. Well, that turns out to be one of the more conservative areas of higher education. So it's certainly possible that a business school professor might be strongly to the left and might really force his or her students to toe a progressive line. But that seems, if true, to me to be a relatively rare occurrence. My guess is that that's not much of what happens in business programs around the country these days. I think most faculty members are open to a much wider range of positions than the caller's suggesting.
Let's go to Marty in Woodstock next. Hi, Marty.
Hi, Kathleen. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
A couple of things, and it's just me, but when I think conservatism, I don't think creativity. But I do think religion and extreme religion. And the second point is President Obama winning 2 terms. Yeah, there's some conservatives that probably voted for him, but I'm going to guess the majority of the people were not conservative, and maybe therefore that's why we have so many liberal, thank goodness, college professors. I'll listen to your response off air. Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much for the call, Professor Gross.
So, one of the arguments that's often made to try to explain why there are more liberal college professors is that there's some kind of an association between creativity and intellectualism and liberal political ideology. And that's an idea that's been often invoked by psychologists, and it might help to explain why not just professors are on the left, but also why, for example, you find more liberals among writers, among journalists, and among artists. I think that there's perhaps some evidence to suggest that this is what's behind the liberal tilt of the faculty, but it doesn't explain a lot about what's going on. For example, there's some evidence that college faculty have become more liberal over time. And I think there's not much evidence that they've become more creative over time. So other things besides creativity seem to be accounting for the uneven distribution of liberals and conservatives on the college faculty. But the other thing that I was going to say in response to the point about President Obama is I think another possible explanation, something that people have mentioned, is that you know, there's a kind of a bread and butter account of why faculty tend to be not just left but strongly Democratic. And that is that in recent decades, the Democrats have just been much more forthcoming in their support for funding higher education at the state and federal levels, and in their funding for science and for research in both the natural sciences and the social sciences. So perhaps part of the reason that faculty tend to vote Democratic is because they know, you know, on what side they're bread and buttered.
Right. We had an email wanting you to clarify liberal versus liberal arts so people don't get confused.
Great. Well, that's a great question. So the liberal arts it has nothing to do with the term liberal in the political context. You know, it simply means I teach at a liberal arts college, so I'm very sensitive to this. It simply means study of the ways of humanity, in its full spectrum, the arts, the sciences, the social sciences, literature, and so on and so forth. That's what we generally mean by the liberal arts, but that has nothing to do with political liberalism.
Let's go next. Thank you, Marty, very much for your call. We go to Grace in Brookfield next. Hi, Grace.
Hi, this is Grace in Bayfield, Wisconsin.
Oh, hi, Grace in Bayfield. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you so much for taking my call. My comment is, all you have to do is follow the money. If I have a conservative philosophy, I want to make money, and I'm not going to go into academia. If I have a liberal political philosophy, I want to forward the health and well-being of the people of my community, and I'm going to go into academia where I can teach young people how to be wonderful stewards of the community, of the earth, et cetera, et cetera. And all we got to do is follow the money, and we understand why there are more liberal professors than conservative.
Yeah, but there are a lot of rich liberals, aren't there, Grace?
There could be, yes. But but when you come up to the, okay, so I have three children, and they're in graduate school and pre-graduate school, and they're all looking to pay off their loans and et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And they are saying it's more important to do a good job for the community than it is to make a whole lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Professor Gross, is there anything to that, do you think?
Well, I mean, I think there may be something to that. Although, you know, if you look at surveys of undergraduates, what you find is that the ones who are most interested in making money aren't conservatives. It's people who don't have strong political opinions. I mean, for the most part, if you're, you know, really, really, you know, the focus of your life is making money, then the focus of your life isn't politics. And, you know, in point of fact, there are plenty of young, very idealistic conservatives who you know, want to make their communities better. They want to make the country a better place. Their goal isn't to just you know make a fortune, and so, you know, they might well want to go into fields where they can make a real difference. So they might go into law, for example. They might go into the ministry. They might go into politics more generally. And I think you're right too that there are plenty of folks with liberal sensibilities who are, you know, perfectly happy making quite a bit of money. And I think that there are plenty of those types in Silicon Valley, for example. So I think that the money thing is part of it, but I don't think it's really what drives the fact that professors tend to be more liberal. I don't think that's the main thing at all.
Thanks, Grace, for your call. Randy in Madison. Hi.
Good afternoon. I didn't major in math, but at the risk of making an obvious point, it seems to me that the disproportion of lefties that in academia is going to mean that you're going to have most of the bad professors will be lefties. And by that I mean the ones who practice indoctrination or are attempting to rewrite history, kind of like a lot of the guests on this show. And the but I think a very common factor is that the Greeks used to believe that teaching flowed two ways, and that any teacher, professor, should be learning every year that they're engaged in the profession. And I think the bad ones think, no, they're just up there to tell people what to think.
Well, who's rewriting history, Randy?
What do you mean? Several people that are there to tell you, for instance, what happened in the last 40 years, say with Vietnam and things like that, or and like I said, that actually I think both people on the left and the right do that, and you know, I could come up with any number of examples, but it'd be kind of boring.
Well, people interpret history differently, don't they, Professor Neil Gross? I always liked professors who had, you know, a point of view on it. It didn't mean that you couldn't have another point of view if you read something else or had another professor.
Right. I mean, I think that another term for rewriting history is just being a historian. I mean, that's
right.
Kind of what
right.
Historians do.
Exactly.
You know, I think that that the caller's point you know, raises a kind of a broader consideration. You know, one thing I've noticed in talking to people about this subject over the years is that while there are plenty of conservative students today who, you know, might wish that their professors were, you know, more sympathetic to their points of view, it's generally the case that the farther you are away from academia in years, for example, or in terms of your day-to-day experiences, the more kind of negative and stereotyped of views of it you're likely to have. You know, in point of fact, most professors are, you know, deeply committed to their subject areas, and while there may be a few who are political ideologues, and I'm sure there are, you know, I think most are you know, deeply committed to the craft of inquiry. They, you know, follow carefully the norms of their profession. They're trying to do research that advances the common good, trying to do teaching that conveys to students important lessons about the way the world works, teaches them important skills to do with critical thinking, and as well as kind of technical skills. And certainly, most professors that I've encountered over my many years in academia have been interested in exactly the kind of dialogue that the caller is speaking about. And I guess I would encourage people who have kind of skeptical views about academia to engage more, to, you know, take classes themselves in community colleges or elsewhere, and go and read, you know, some academic texts, perhaps even those written for a general audience. I think people will find who are skeptical that professors are, in fact, much more open and concerned to engage than the stereotype depicts.
Annie is next in Watertown. Hello.
Hi. Well, it makes me think of just the whole push of our country to the right being so accepted, and the demonization of anything other than what the conservative side thinks. But I look at conservatives who are anti-gay, and then all of a sudden something happens to them. And I think a professor has probably had plenty of encounters in the world, like gay people or a person who had to make a decision about a pregnancy or people in circumstances that differ from the world that they grew up in and see in their everyday life. You know, they've been exposed to more, and they're able to analyze and critically think a bit better. And look at what the GOP platform was in the 50s. I mean, we are definitely, I mean, that would have been radical liberal in our day and age. I mean, it's a push to the other side.
Hmm. Well, that's an interesting thought. Are there more people who would consider themselves moderate who we consider liberal now and wouldn't have in the 50s, Professor Gross?
Well, I mean, I think there's no question that the GOP has moved to the right. I mean, it's not a to say that isn't to you know, say anything that that folks within the party haven't been kind of actively pursuing for many years. I mean, there was a strong push to move the party to the right in the late 60s and the 70s and certainly into the 80s. I think some of the turn even further to the left among academics since the 90s or so has been, you know, partially in reaction to this move on the part of the GOP. I think, you know, a number of professors who who might have considered themselves conservative or moderate during earlier periods have found that that given what the GOP is today, they can no longer align themselves with the Republican Party and therefore are beginning to reject the label conservative as it applies to them. So I mean, I think these broader shifts in politics certainly are having an effect on the politics of professors.
Our question of the hour, do liberals dominate the faculties of colleges and universities around the country? Our guest did a study, a national survey of political views of those on faculties, and found that at a time when a fifth of all American adults describe themselves as liberal, half the faculty did. So we're talking about why that is the case, what it means for education, and whether or not critics who advocate for maybe even an affirmative action program to hire more conservatives might be right. Our guest is Professor Neil Gross. He's a professor of sociology at Colby College. And our phone number is 800-486-8655. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We go back to phone calls, and Annie is next in Watertown. Hi, Annie. Oh, no, we had Annie on. I'm sorry. My phone is stuck there. Sorry, Annie, but thanks for your call. Let's go to Steve in Danbury. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
Who was it that said reality has a liberal bias? I think it was a comedian back in the early aughts. But, as your guest said, it's a well-established fact that conservatives have been trying to push the argument to the right for the last, well, really since Barry Goldwater. And now they want to take all the institutions along with them. It's as if they'd like to take the whole fount of human knowledge and make it more conservative. And I think that's where this whole thing breaks down in my mind.
Professor Gross.
Well, I mean, I do think that there has been a push for a long while on the part of conservatives to try to get more of a foothold in higher education. I think that leaders of the conservative movement have felt as though the movement has been, stymied to a certain extent by the fact that that there aren't more conservative academics who are prominent in their fields and in the public sphere. And I think there has been a movement to try to kind of take back some space. I think that in the broader scheme of things, the real effort that the right has made hasn't been though to get more conservatives into higher education. I think the much more significant effort that the right has made has essentially been to defund public higher education. And ultimately, I think that will be a much more consequential kind of move. And I think you're seeing certainly evidence of this in Wisconsin, but in a number of other states as well. And I don't know that that's about getting the conservative agenda across into the higher education institution, but it is about, I think, partially a skepticism about the politics of higher ed.
Getting back, this guy, another caller who was talking about what his son was doing, the paper that he had to write to satisfy the professor because he had a different point of view. When you did your survey, you have written, when political views are more relevant, you have found very few academics whose stated goal was to sway students to their side of the political aisle. How did you find out about that? How do you know that?
Yeah, well, so we weren't there in the classroom, and I'll say that there is some interesting research that's being done now to kind of observe classroom behavior on the part of professors and students, and see if in fact professors are asking students to toe their political points of view. But our approach was to ask questions on an anonymous survey, and also in very detailed interviews that we conducted with professors where they were, guaranteed anonymity. And, we asked them lots of questions about kind of how they taught. And it's certainly possible that some said, no, we're very good about not insisting that students take our points of view. And maybe they actually weren't. Maybe even if they were good about that, maybe the students still felt as though they had to take the professor's point of view into consideration when writing papers. It's a little hard to tell. But what I can say is that most professors take seriously their role as educators and really do not see their job as one of indoctrinating students. And I think in most fields, not all fields, but in most fields, professors who didn't take that position, who really saw themselves as trying to make ideological converts, those people would be almost pariahs in the discipline. That's certainly not something that most of academia is about.
Mm-hmm. Robert on Facebook writes, if they are liberal, they haven't influenced contemporary politics in any real way. They've been marginalized very effectively.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, there's a long discussion about whether exposure to higher education makes students more liberal, and I think there's some evidence that it may make some students more liberal on a certain number of issues. For example, going to college does seem to make students a little bit more willing to extend civil liberties protections to people who hold dissenting points of view. It makes them more comfortable on the whole with diversity, but it certainly does not, at least from the current studies, make students much more progressive on economic questions, for example. And so I think that comment that you got is really right. I mean, certainly there hasn't been to this point kind of a massive political realignment that's based on people getting exposed to liberal points of view in higher ed. Although we do seem to be going through some kind of a sea change at the moment. It's hard to say how much of that, if any, has to do with the growth of higher education in recent years, and how much of the kind of strong progressive mood of the country now is a result of other factors.
Peter in Baraboo, hello.
Hello, thank you so much, Kathleen. Again, I'm a school board member here in Baraboo. I believe just two or three quick things. One, when you ask about liberal or conservative in an educational environment, the liberal mind, if you will, goes back to the Socratic questioning and the dialogues. I think most college professors, university professors, define themselves in that frame of reference as liberal, less from a political standpoint than from an educational ideology, if you will. I certainly see myself in that regard. I think the liberal mind asks questions to unfold what the facts are beneath an opinion. My sense is that a conservative orientation is more toward narrowing rather than expanding, and that's one comment. The other is we have a great challenge in this country to educate young people in understanding discernment. The sources from which they get their information tend to be extremely divisive these days, and that, of course, has pushed everything to the margins. Thank you for the work that you do in bringing all of this to our attention. And again, thank you, Kathleen, for your show.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks for your call. Interesting viewpoints. Let's start with the latter. When you look at your students and where they're getting their information, is there a careful, thorough examination of history, of thoughts before, of what the text is, or is there a lot more social media consumption that's getting in the way of becoming either a liberal or a conservative? You just don't know very much about either.
Well, I'm a little biased here. So I teach at Colby College, which is a fantastic liberal arts college in Maine. And our students are terrific, and they're certainly on social media, but they're pretty discerning about the sources of their information, and while social media might lead them to an idea, they usually do a great job of kind of tracking it down and trying to figure out what the roots of that are. But I do think it's true that colleges and universities need to do more to encourage students to look beneath the sources of information that they may be receiving from their smartphones, and to dig a little deeper. On the second point, conservative versus liberal educational philosophy, I guess what I want to say about this is that, I know and am friends with many conservative professors, and I think that that they share the same kind of educational philosophy that the rest of us do. That is that they are interested in, you know, probing deeper and exploring and being Socratic. So I think the caller's point, has some validity. That is that there's a you can think of a liberal or conservative educational philosophy, but that's not really the same thing as politics. And then you can think of political points of view, and those are really kind of distinct things. They don't really neatly map onto one another.
Mm-hmm. We go to Eric in wherever you are. Hi, Eric. Eric?
Hi, guys.
Go ahead, Eric. Hi.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
So just to give a background myself, I actually hold an elementary teaching license in Wisconsin. I went to UW River Falls, so I've been through that system.
Uh-huh.
The vast majority of conservatives I talk to, I'm talking like 95%, would probably fall under the category of creationists, so believe that there is a creator of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And then I reckon vast majority of liberals that I have ever talked to or through the system I've been are evolutionists or, Big Bang Theory, Darwinists.
Uh-huh.
So, and at this point, so actually if you go back in history in the United States, up until the late 1800s, the educational system was very focused on a Christian background. God is in, like, Yale and Harvard, they all have their founding statements with God in them and all that good stuff. So academia used to be controlled by creationists. Now in the late 1800s, Darwin's ideas have come along. Fast forward to now, you look at the public school system, and Darwinist viewpoints are the only ones being taught. And they'll say it's settled science. Anyways, so I would say coming out of that system, like I myself feel very, I'm a creationist myself. I believe in God. And you just kind of feel antagonistic towards myself having those views through that entire system, because I know a vast, vast majority of my professors would definitely kind of frown upon speaking of Jesus or God in that way. So I would say the huge reason here is God versus Darwin.
Okay. All right. We got your point, Eric. Thanks for the call. Professor.
So I think that that there's a bit of a misconception that most professors are kind of militant atheists. It is true that disbelief in God is more common among professors than it is in the general public by kind of a wide margin. But in point of fact, a really significant number of American professors are religious believers. They're not necessarily creationists. In fact, they're not creationists. But there's, I think, more sympathy toward religious points of view and toward engaging in dialogue with believers than might be recognized. And so in the context of a class that I might be teaching, for example, I myself am not a believer, but I would be all too pleased to have meaningful conversations about God and about creation and what it means for the social sciences, for example, since I'm a sociologist, with my students, if any were willing to bring those topics up with me. So again, I think it's a question of what the higher education institution can do to make clear that we are willing to and happy to engage in dialogue with people from a wide range of points of view and backgrounds. That doesn't mean that that professors won't necessarily share those points of view, but dialogue is always a good thing.
Thanks, Eric. Dan in Appleton. Hi.
Yeah, Kathleen, you were spot on. There's a lot of wealthy liberals too. The Clintons have made millions and millions of dollars in government. I think there's a pox on both houses. My observation is that liberals, the reason colleges tend to attract more liberals is because they get their paycheck from the government side, and that if you believe in big government, and you're more likely to be pro-government, which makes you more likely to be progressive or liberal. If you're a small business owner and your relationship with the government is largely adversarial, then you tend to be Republican, and you tend to follow that stream of consciousness. So I agree with the caller. Follow the money, and you'll find the truth.
Yeah, interesting. Professor?
Again, I do think that the money piece of this is not insignificant. But I just as a contrary piece of evidence here. In fact, the most progressive professors tend to teach at elite institutions, including at private elite institutions, where there's almost no money that's received from, except for money from research grants, which is not insignificant, but where funding is certainly not government dependent. So I'm not sure that's the full answer. In fact, I'm doubtful that it is, although it may be a contributing piece of it.
Well, thank you so much for a very interesting hour. Thanks, Professor Gross.
Thank you.
Yeah, nice to give you a chance to speak to Wisconsin again, too. Professor Neil Gross, our guest this hour, and he is professor of sociology at Colby College. He has taught at Princeton and University of British Columbia, University of Southern California, works on sociological theory and the sociology of intellectual life. He's the author of Why Are Professors Liberal and Why Do Conservatives Care? Tomorrow during this hour, the author of Scapegoats, How Islamophobia Helps Our Enemies and Threatens Our Freedoms. Thanks very much to Scotty Myers and to KP Whaley. And Kiri Salinas for production and on-air production of our program. Thanks for listening.